All right. Well, God bless you guys in the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to teach on a subject I've entitled God's Seeds of Greatness. You know, God has planted seeds of greatness in each and every one of us. And his plan for my life, for your life, is for those seeds to sprout and grow and produce in you a life of health, wealth, and happiness. Now, normally, we aren't up planting a garden, planting seeds, vegetable gardens, and that sort of thing, with the thinking that we just want all those to not produce anything, right? You plant tomatoes, what are you expecting to get? Nice heirloom tomatoes, you know, have your favorite BLT or whatever. We had this beautiful Caprese salad made with fresh basil, mozzarella, heirloom tomatoes. OMG. I mean, it was just excellent. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, very good. I got some amens. And even though we all may experience failure from time to time, it's not our destiny, and it's not our identity. It's just an event that occurs. You know, we can think of many people, ourselves included, have failed in their pursuits of whatever it is that they're attempting to get to. But those are only temporary setbacks, and they can be a catalyst, really, to move forward with what I call renewed vigor and renewed vision. We look at failures or mistakes as part of the learning process, part of the growing process. Of course, the greatest lesson is to learn from the mistakes and failures that we make so we just don't continue to repeat them over and over and over again. That's not really the best. But we also need to realize that these things that make up all of our lives, they don't need to paralyze us or even defeat us on a permanent basis. You know, God's all bigger than that. And I said this the other day, just let's let God be God. Let's let God do what God is good at. And if he needs your help, he'll ask for it. That's a big billboard said, "Hello, good morning, this is God. I won't be needing your help today. Thank you very much." And it's so true because, you know, everybody, you know, we're kind of groomed in a society of self-production, self-worth, self-proving of yourself, you know. But what's cool is that God doesn't have us in that kind of same mode. So we don't really need to let fear stop us, do we? You know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe you'd like to look it up. Maybe you could say it right along with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Says, "See what great love," this is the NIV, "see what great love the Father have lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. That is what we are. Not that we're just called children of God. It's actually who we are. See? You know, from the very start of creation, it was God's plan for people to enjoy life. You know, behold, he saw everything, and it was what? Very good. Very good. It's God's plan for people to enjoy life. When Joyce Myers wrote a book, you know, something like, "It's Okay to Eat the Cookie," or something like that. It's really interesting. You know, it's okay to lighten up. It's okay to have some fun. Have a merry heart. Actually, the Bible says in Proverbs that having a merry heart is like a what?
Medicine.
Like a medicine. Like a medicine that does good for you. You know, man was the ultimate, the highest pinnacle of creation. And God did not plan for man and his man to be sick, to be poor, to be in bondage. He actually planned for man to be on top of the world, right? He gave man dominion over everything, the animals, all these things. You know, and when God created Adam, he did it in such a way that in order for Adam to achieve greatness, there had to be a cooperative effort between God and Adam. And that is a critical point we want to make in this teaching. We're not in this alone. It's not like God gave you the Spirit and then just said, go out there and figure it out, George. You're on your own. Now it's just all about trial and error. I think that's sometimes maybe something we kind of forget. God is right there with us if we will cooperate with him. If we will work together with him, then, wow, so many things are readily available. You know, you often think of Adam maybe as a perfect creature. Yet God created Adam within him the potential to grow and the potential to develop. You know, God said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over all the wild animals. You know, God placed man that he had created in the Garden of Eden and said to him, I want you to tend the garden and keep it. I got a little job for you here, buddy. See? And this implies that Adam had a job to do, a part to play in developing God's seeds of greatness in his life. You see, God's desire for us is the same as his desire for Adam. He wanted Adam to take what had been given to him in creation and make it productive, make it grow, make it develop, help it to develop with God's help. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, maybe you'd like to go there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply the seeds you have and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Mm. Now God's the one who gives the seed. You know, as we sow them in our lives, God will, he will multiply, he'll make productive, he'll germinate them, allowing them to grow and blossom. You know, God has supplied to us his seeds of success. And they are found where? In the Word of God, the promises. And all that's required of us in many cases is to provide the warmth. We think of sunshine and the water. The seeds need to germinate and to grow. Then you what? You enjoy the promises that God, the results that God has promised. See? The word seed, if you think about it, implies potential. For in every seed is life in a program that determines its growth. Everything necessary for an oak tree to grow is held within an acorn. Maybe you've seen the giant redwoods in Northern California. You know, redwood trees are amazing. They have one called the General Sherman, I think, that you can drive through. It's incredible. But they grow to an incredible height, and they live for centuries. Actually, some have said that trees like this have been alive at the time of Christ, nearly 2,000 years ago. But if you've seen the seed of a redwood tree, they're exceedingly small seeds, only a millimeter or two in length. Yet within that seed is the initial nourishment for the tree and a complete operating system and program that determines the shape, the structure, and the color of those incredibly massive and beautiful trees. You know, a seed within it has the potential necessary for the development of a plant for mankind to enjoy and utilize. And this trickles down into every facet of life, in the human reproduction and the animal kingdom reproduction. It has to do with seed, right? Amazing. And it's incredible that God, he deliberately uses the illustration of a seed to teach us that within each and every believer, within each and every one of us, is the potential to grow and to develop and to maximize our potential. A seed implies potential, productivity, and then pleasurable results. You know, there's one great difference between natural seeds and God's seeds of greatness, and that is God's seeds are permanent, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Maybe you're familiar with that. And this is why the Spirit never leaves somebody. You know, one day it's in, you sin, next day it's out, in and out, in and out. Yeah. No, 1 Peter, oh, that's a different one. I want to look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What kind of seed? Incorruptible. You can't lose it. You can't blow it where God is going to remove it. It's seed. It's in there. It's permanent. There is therefore no question as to whether you do or do not have God's seeds in your life. God doesn't show any favoritism, right? According to Romans, it says he's not a respecter of persons. And if only one person can be shown to be enjoying health, wealth, and happiness, then it's available for every person. We all have the seed. But the question becomes, is it growing and being fruitful? Are we giving it the nutrition and the ingredients necessary for it to continue to really develop? You know, one other aspect of seeds is that it does matter as to the type of soil in which it is planted, right? One exception to this may be the mustard seed, because you can just kind of throw it down in any junky garbage plot, and it seems to grow and survive unexpectedly. But for the most part, seeds are planted, and people go to great care and lengths to plant seeds in the right type of soil. And you're familiar with a section in the Word called the parable of the sower? Yeah. Well, the farmers of that particular day, when they were sowing seed, they take a handful of seed, throw it from left to right in front of them, walking across a plowed field. Some would fall on the unplowed edges of the field, others on paths. Hopefully most of it would be on the good soil. But the point is, the seed is the Word of God. And those seeds, which are the seeds of greatness, are the principles in the Word that are they're allowed to germinate and grow in our lives. They bring a good result. See, this is what Jesus is talking about. The seed that fell on good ground is likened to those who hear God's Word and, quote, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patient endurance. The development of the seed is determined by the quality of the ground in which it is placed. See? A lot of farmers, a lot of gardeners, they're very meticulous with the type of soil, and they all get into like the soil, and we got to have this acidic soil, and we got to have this alkaline soil, we got to have the right soil for tomatoes and cucumber and whatever. People get into it. And yet you think about the soil that really is representative of our hearts. Are we preparing and allowing our hearts to take those things of God and those things of the Word and cooperate together with God to see the benefit and the result? So what is the lesson here? Again, how about we provide the soil, a heart of positive faith and affirmation, and enjoy the fruit of God's seeds of greatness in all of our lives. And you know, honestly, there are many seeds of greatness, but they all revolve around one requirement, faith. Faith. Self-esteem requires faith. When you look in the mirror, you see a certain thing. But yet it says we walk not by sight, but by what? By faith. So can we look in the mirror and see Christ in us? See, or do we just see the physical, whatever you call it, the physical
imperfections?
Okay, physical imperfections. We see the person that we are, right? And the closer you look, the more imperfect it becomes sometimes. Unlike God's Word and God, the closer you look, the more perfect it becomes. See, and they're always discovering these new animals and insects and all these things. And, man, you start looking at all of the details and the particulars of the creation, and it's just unbelievable. How about the lordship of Jesus Christ? Does that require faith?
Sure.
It's not just a one-time act that happens when you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's ongoing. And so, you know, we allow that Spirit of God, that lordship of Jesus Christ to come. Desire requires faith. Decision requires faith. You know, Abraham believed God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. He did not waver of promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. What was that about? That somehow, miraculously, an old man passed the time of his ability to procreate, and Sarah passed her time to receive the seed and conceive. Bam, God says, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a baby. Now, I don't know the particulars of how exactly that all worked out. But you know what? Sarah had a baby, right? Yeah. Something. But why is Abraham of interest to us today? You know, because it says that the promise is sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. You know, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, according to Galatians chapter 3, 14 and 15. And verse 29. See, a lot of this talk about Abraham, his example of faith, it just kind of gets all convoluted in people's mind. They're like, what's the point? What's the point? You know, Abraham is the Old Testament's greatest example of faith. He gets the most detailed mention in the great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. In addition, the whole chapter of Romans, chapter 4, is devoted to him. God must think pretty highly of this man, Abraham. That seed of greatness which God planted in him certainly grew and produced a rich harvest. And according to Romans, chapter 4, verse 12, we are to walk in the steps of the faith, which is our father Abraham had. You know, God sows the same seeds of greatness in everyone who becomes a member of his family. For God has taken the future tense and he's turned it into the past tense. The moment you are born again, you got the seed. It's no longer a promise. It's something that's already come to pass. You know, God is saying to us even today, I have made you. I have blessed you. You are a blessing. He says you're more than a conqueror, Romans 8. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm still with you. You're an overcomer because I am in you. As I am, so are you in this world. Your faith in me has won the victory. I hear what you have asked, and it's yours. My seed remains in you, so the power and the penalty of sin has no dominion over you. You know, the seed to succeed in life is powerful and productive and present in us. I wanted to look at a verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And that says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. It just goes to show that God has so much that really all we can do is bow down before him and give thanks and give praise. I love this saying. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, the kingdom. And thou art exalted above, head above all. Riches and honor come of thee. So many wonderful things there. And so we bow before the God of the heavens in thanksgiving. Because God has gone to such great, amazing lengths to secure our relationship with him. So my exhortation today is partner with him in allowing that seed within you, which is Christ in you, to really flourish and to really grow. Amen? That's awesome. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love and kindness. And Lord, that your seed within us has just found itself in the right environment to grow and to develop and to be all that it can be. And God, I just thank you that you are so much more of the prime mover than we are. But I'm praying today, Father, that we can take whatever little part of our part is and take that so we can run with full potential. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Barney. That was really great. Now, there's some of us in the room here that heard the teaching on Thursday, and one of the three exhortations Barney had that he didn't talk about today because he got into the subject so much about the power we have. But those of you that was here, we're going to say it for you. Can you remember? The first one was, we don't give up.
We don't give up.
Number two, we don't quit. And number three is, we won't go down.
We won't go down.
And a lot of the things he taught today establishes why we won't give up, we won't quit, and we won't go down no matter what the adversary throws at us, because we have all the power that Barney taught about today. That is real, and it lives in our lives. If we utilize it, we cannot fail. And he said something else that was really cool, I thought, at the end of the teaching last Thursday was, you see trouble coming, don't run away. Run to it. Run over it. Don't be afraid of anything the adversary can throw at us. So I just wanted to add that to the teaching because it was really a lot of fun Thursday night, the way he tied that all in. Today was an amazing word. Thank you, Barn, for doing that. So you guys, we're going to take you all off mute and say goodbye. We're so happy to hear your little voices. And tomorrow night, 7:30, we'll have a phone-in fellowship with Alan Trotty. And then Wednesday night, Bob and Jeannie. And then Thursday, Barney and Vicki again. So have a great week. Look forward to hearing from you guys. God bless.